Well, it is just about 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock, Joanne?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes,
well, we'll get started. Heard a few people coming on board, and I'm sure there'll be more in the next few minutes. This is a special opportunity today. Many of you know that I do a monthly interview, and I've had an opportunity to interview quite a few people in the industry, and I certainly like to bring to our clients' attention some great programs, products, and things that are going on outside of Member Solutions. And technically, the interview with Ali today is really supposed to be in the sense of working with Ali outside of Member Solutions, although he's a very, very huge part of what we do at our company from a consulting standpoint. But I'd like to introduce Ali as more so the successful school owner and take a step outside of Member Solutions today and just talk about his Taking It to the Next Level program that has been very, very successful for school owners that have participated in it. And we'll kind of keep the same format. So for right now, Ali, what I'd like to do for those people that are on and will be listening to us on through the archive at some point, can you just give a little bit of a description of your schools, how many you own, where they're located, just to get a little background on you as a school owner?
Sure. Most recently, up until about 2 months ago, I had 5 schools. Right now I have 4, and I had just condensed one down. For a while, I actually had thought that would have been kind of like a blow to my ego, and, you know, I had 5 schools, and I went down to 4. But I really believe that it's interesting enough for me to show people out there that it's really not about ego. And the reason why I closed the one school down was because it was so close to one of my other locations, I was able to take my entire clientele, like 98% of my people, and move them over to another school. And I went from a $12,000 overhead a month to 0, and I took all my clientele, and it was an instantaneous boost in profit. So I have 4 schools, to answer your question, in Long Island, and I have 1 school in Bermuda that's actually my school. It's a Long Island Ninjutsu Center of Bermuda. And I have branch schools that teach my system and follow my philosophies all throughout the world. But my 4 schools that I own are solely owned by me, and I have a partnership / business relationship with my Bermuda school. I've also trained. I've trained since I was 3 years old in the martial arts, starting when I was, you know, I guess too small to even realize what martial arts was. My dad was a narcotics policeman and motorcycle cop, and he put me in the martial arts, I guess, because he saw all the bad things that were going on in the world in the 1960s and 70s, and he wanted me involved in the martial arts, and he got me involved in a school called Jerome Mackey. And since then, I've acquired the rank of 5th and 6th degree black belt and trained in many, many styles. I've trained in, have black belts in Chinese Hawaiian Kempo. I have black belts in Aikido. I have a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu, actually a 5th degree black belt in Jiu-Jitsu. I have a 5th degree black belt in Ninjutsu. I've done a 2nd degree black belt in Filipino Cali Arnis under Tuhan Chris Sayak of the Sayak Fighting Systems. He's world famous. He was known from the movie The Hunted with Benicio Del Toro and Tommy Lee Jones. And I've trained in Japan. Literally have traveled to Japan 14 times since 1993, I believe it was. And I'm a full-time martial artist, and I don't honestly think in my entire life that I've taken off for more than 2 or 3 weeks as far as being involved with the martial arts in some way or shape or form.
Wow, that's a phenomenal resume, not only for a school owner but as a student, which I'm sure you still feel like as you're continuing your martial arts education.
Yeah.
When did you open your first school, Ali?
I literally opened my first school in 1986. I think I was like 16 years old or 17 years old. Actually, I didn't open the school. I actually started training with my Filipino martial art teacher. And he actually had a school in Queens with a satellite school in Long Island in Bayshore, New York. I ended up becoming his top student, and he kind of just pulled out of the school entirely and left it up to me. So imagine, I was in an area, the area of Bayshore at that time in late 80s or late 70s, or, you know, whatever it was really kind of a tough area. So now picture me at 16 years old teaching classes, and I was on the second floor, And it's only a few miles away from where I live right now, but the area had, like, crack drug addicts and prostitutes. So I'd be in the middle of teaching a kid's class, and I'd have, like, a prostitute walk up and, you know, walk in the classroom. And it was kind of tough. So at 16 years old, and I was involved, I was a rock and roll musician touring the country playing in a band. And I just said to myself, you know, I'm going to close this school down. I really had no desire to run a martial arts school. I just wanted to be a student. So I closed the school down and went back into just training full-time and doing my rock and following my pursuit of being a rock and roll musician. My first schools, though, in the Long Island Ninjutsu Centers opened up in 1991. So this year is going to be our 15th year of being in business.
Hey, that's funny. That's the same year that I had started my company.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that. That's quite unbelievable.
It's amazing. It's 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And I can't believe it, you know. I look back at pictures of how young I looked.
When did you open the second location? I'm not going to go through them all, but I only asked that because that was the time that you became a multi-school operator.
Right. I had my first school, and I kind of like, if anyone reads my history, like even in the Board Breaker magazine that I think is archived on my website and your website, I literally ran my school kind of like semi full-time, part-time for about maybe, I'd say from 1991 to 1996. At the time, I ran a rather lucrative landscape construction company. I had like six crews, six trucks, 32 employees. I made quite a large amount of money. And I would work from 6 in the morning till about maybe 3 in the afternoon, run home, take a nap and a shower, and be at my school by 4:30. And so I did that for many years until I decided that I really wanted to be a full-time martial artist. At around 1996, 97, I dedicated and sold my landscape construction business and became a full-time martial artist and started teaching for real in my schools. And somewhere after that, probably at around maybe 97, around there, 98, I started to see some real good results in my school, and I opened up my second location. Inevitably, that location failed because I had a partnership with one of my students, and I kind of opened it up for him, thinking that it was going to be a lesson for him to learn, and he'd grow and take on all the responsibilities. Well, in essence, he never did. His school is still in place, but just recently he started to within the last 2 years, become a success. So it took him a long time for him to really learn the business and actually change his mindset. But anyway, that school failed within a year, and then I opened up my next location a year after that. And then that location was good for a while and did great. And then within 1 year, I opened up 3 more locations.
You know, I want to point out a couple things you said there, but the first thing I want to mention is the fact that one of the reasons I believe we hear such incredible feedback about your help at Member Solutions is your absolute and total honesty.
Yeah.
You know, many times you can run into people who do consulting, and you know, they feel that the only thing that they could ever say has to be all great positive stuff, because how can anyone ever look up to someone who's made mistakes or admits to making a mistake? And I really appreciate the way that you utilize your life experiences to help other people prevent, for them to help them not make those same mistakes by coming right out and saying, look, you know, this is what I did, this is what I thought was going on, and this is the reasons I did it, and I've learned from it. So just as a side note, I really want to thank you for that.
Well, that's no problem, and I have to tell you, sometimes that gets me in trouble, because just recently I sent out a Member Solutions email, and I was talking about one of my old employees, and she actually had gotten the email, and it wasn't negative in any way, but I just said that there were some learning experiences, and we worked together, and she was the kind of person that didn't really ever say no to me, even though sometimes she took on more than she could handle. And I said in the email that I lost a lot of money due to it, and she kind of really took insult to that. So I have to be really careful, because I'm so honest, I get myself in trouble all the time.
Well, you know, and that's something that can certainly happen.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to a couple of things you said, and you know, you were a part-time martial arts school owner and working a full-time job, and there are still quite a few people out there, and I'm sure it's going to be that group of instructors that download this teleconference interview, because they're working right now. They couldn't get on the line to listen live, so they will download it over the weekend or listen to it to and from their day job.
Right.
And I'd like you to kind of explain the feeling that, you know, hey, look, you didn't switch over to running your school full-time in 1994 or 1995. It happened in 1996.
Right.
What actually happened in your mind that gave you either the confidence to say, you know, yeah, I know I want to do this full-time, but, you know, I'm ready to take the plunge? And maybe you can kind of, like, put a frame of mind so that the people out there that maybe are debating this, you know, it's 1994, 1995 for them right now.
Right, sure. Well, absolutely, there were a few things. It was definitely my, I was at my tolerance level with my construction, landscape construction people. I was so frustrated, and I couldn't really keep employees. It was one of those businesses where it was just brutal as far as physical labor and so on. So that had a lot to do with me just saying I just wanted out. But honestly, though, the real honest thing is it's definitely a leap of faith. And, you know, for an individual to let go of the security of their job and maybe possibly move into a school ownership kind of thing, you know, for some, I would almost have to want to speak to them in person before they do that and do an interview with them. You know, like people say, don't quit your day job. For some people, they may not be able to run a full-time martial arts school successfully. You and I both know, Joe, that there are people out there that still have 20 students that are really not making any money, and imagine them jumping out and opening up a school. They'll be out of business, and they'll lose their entire livelihood. But when I say a leap of faith, I mean the only way you're going to really be successful is if you put your entire 100% effort into running your business. So no matter what, you know, you could run two full-time jobs like I did. I worked from 6 in the morning till like 3. That's a full-time job. And then I'd come home half exhausted, though, and then I'd teach with all my effort. And I did dynamic classes, but when I started to grow my business is when I sold my other business, and I sat in my office because I was used to being up at 6 in the morning. I was in my dojo, my martial arts school, at 9:30, and I'd work from 9:30 in the morning to like 10:30 at night at my martial arts school. And the minute I started focusing the efforts that I used to put into my landscape construction business into my martial arts school, I saw some incredible results. That's when my entire life had changed, and I started saying, wow, I could do this. And not only could I do this, I had all the tools, and I was learning, but I was really excited to go, and like, wow, this is something that could really turn into something. And I've made more money at my martial arts schools than I've ever made at my landscape construction business. But I also do believe now I'm a better businessman, so if I open up a landscape construction business tomorrow, I'd be a millionaire as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there is that leap of faith that you have to take and believe in yourself.
Right.
You know, otherwise, you know, being the part-time instructor, you're basically a teacher, and it's a hobby,
uh-huh.
And you're running the business for the purpose of being able to teach.
Right.
When you go full-time, it's a whole different environment. You're running the business for your career, for your livelihood.
Right.
And, you know, and now that you have that time and energy to put into thinking, you know, what do I need to do from a marketing perspective? What are some elements that I need to do for retention of my students? What can I do to keep things exciting in the school? These are things that, you know, you could really only think about while you're in the school or you're in transit to and from work or
sure.
in the shower or wherever it is that these ideas.
I tell you, in the shower, I get like most of my ideas come to me, and I don't know what it is, but with water in the shower, I get like some ingenious ideas that come to me. It's amazing.
You know, there's a $1 million idea out there for the guy who invents the waterproof, you know, notepad.
So yeah, that's the truth, right?
So you could just stick it. I would appreciate that myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, we're kind of in the transition of the late 90s, and you've opened up, you've continued to expand your primary school, you've opened up this second school with somebody else, and then you kind of kept on going. Now, being that you are very much a self-taught business person as well, where you've gone through and trial and error and looking for ways to expand and make your business a success, which is what you knew it would be.
Right.
What were some of the differences, say, today running a school versus 1996-97 to maybe the late 80s or 90s? Because we have a lot of long-term clients. They've obviously seen the evolution of the martial arts business industry.
Right.
And some people can get caught up in, you know, they just do the same things they've been doing in the late 80s or early 90s that don't necessarily work today. So what are some of the changes that you've had to make as a school owner to maintain your success throughout?
Well, I think that the question that you asked is probably one of the most important questions any martial arts school owner should ask themselves. And this is, you know, my answer would be that, you know, there has been some major shifts since I started. Like, I can't say why, because I don't really even know the exact answer, but I would have to say that the economy has changed quite dramatically in many ways, meaning that, you know, not so much financially, people are able to still spend the money, but people are a little bit more, the choices out there are just so far, and there's so many of them that, you know, we're in a fast food society, so if we don't like karate, we can move on to the gym. If the gym doesn't work, we could do Pilates. If Pilates doesn't work, we could do yoga or cardio, kickboxing, yada, yada, yada. You know, it's going to go on and on and on. So, you know, back 10 years ago, martial arts was martial arts. People came to it because it was exciting, and there was really not that much of it available. Nowadays, there's a school on every single corner. The sad reality is the more professional the industry becomes, the more people that are going to start doing it, the more information that's out there for people, the more people that are going to be out there opening up schools. So for existing school owners, we're in this kind of quandary of, being professional and having competition bounce up around us. So the only thing that's going to separate the big boys, so to speak, from the new school owners and the small schools is always being on the leading edge, always being the kind of school that's continually changing and adapting to society and the needs of the client. There are two types of businesses, whether it be any business from a bagel place to a martial arts school. It's either an inside-out business or an outside-in business. An inside-out business is the kind of business that focuses on their structure, on their clientele, and on what they want. And an outside-in business is always looking at the client first and working from the client's desires and needs and then working inside. For example, everybody starts their business as an outside-in business, like a karate school, because we want to appeal to the public. And once we get the public's attention and they join our school and we start to get some momentum, we start to shift into this mentality where we're inside out, where we go, hey, listen, it's my way or the highway. They do it the way I want. I'm going to do it this way, and whether they like it or not, this is the way it goes. And what happens is the business starts to get stagnant and dies that way. So I've found that I've always innovated and tried to do new things, make new systems, and there's never been a period of time for more than a year or two where we've laid idle. We've always added new programs, always raised our prices, always added new classes, always built and changed and so on and so forth. So we're constantly on the cutting edge of growth and new ideas. And I find that it's a big problem for many business owners where they start to get to this point where they don't focus on that new business. They don't focus, even though they're marketing, they're not focusing on new business. Even though they're sending out an ad, but the people come and then they walk into their place of business and they fit into this antiquated model of what a business was in the 1980s or 1970s or the 1990s even. You know, like a martial arts school that, you know, or a gymnasium, a weightlifting gym that was like the dungeon kind of place, smelled of sweat, and people were like yelling and screaming in work boots and ripped up clothes, or the karate schools with ripped gis and, you know, teachers who are mean and angry yelling at their students. That just doesn't fly anymore. You know, so we have to constantly change and grow and move forward with this new mentality.
Yeah, and that's a really good point as well. Is if you're stagnant in your business, that is a ticket to the graveyard.
Absolutely.
You look at even the most popular, well-known business franchises in America, such as even a McDonald's. Think about if McDonald's was operating today the way they operated in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
obviously would not be appealing to the same generation. Just take a look, if you're old enough, like Allie and myself, if you're old enough to remember the commercials that were run back in the 80s versus what's run in the 21st century. So, you see that these big companies realize that there is this very, very important need to change. You know, look at the sneaker business. This is every.
Well, let me give you one other analogy. I'm sorry to interrupt you, though, but I think.
Go ahead, please.
This is a good one, though. Is if you look at the United States military and how they used to recruit, like 8 to 10 years ago, it was I forget the old slogan, but it was more about being a part of a team. Just to show the shift in people's mentality and the way we all think, which is sad, is now it's considered the army of one. That's the way they realize that people, it wasn't about being part of a team anymore, because the way we've become this kind of self enclosed society where we're happy just being with just our friends and family. We don't care about the society as much. Video games, computers, sitting on the internet, really all about me and the computer. And so the army knows that, and they said, wow, we have to change this to be the army of one. So it's more about the one person, the individual, versus the family unit and family environment. So when the military changed, that was their $1 billion recruiting campaign. You could see, you know, that was, wow, that's a major shift in our society today.
You know, that's really good. I didn't notice that one. And if you look around at the businesses that are around today and were around 20 years ago, and you look at the way that they market, I challenge anyone to find the same type of marketing that's being used. So change, is often very difficult for people. But if you really analyze it, it's absolutely essential.
Yeah.
I want to shift now a little bit into some of the consulting stuff, and I'm going to take this opportunity to use this to explain a little bit about Member Solutions Consulting and where programs like Taking It to the Next Level fit into that and our client education program. Our goal as Member Solutions is to be able to provide our clients with a very broad spectrum of knowledge on how to run their businesses and to become more successful. It is also our desire to be in contact with people outside of our company that develop products that we think would be advantageous to them running their business.
Right.
Because Member Solutions itself doesn't develop a tremendous amount of product, and because our consulting is which I think is pretty extensive, but it's designed for the broad base. We service, I believe the last number that I heard was just about 1,900 martial arts schools.
Wow.
Which is obviously, it's not 1,900 martial arts clients, as we have a bunch of people like yourself that have multiple schools.
Yeah.
But
you're probably looking at like the tens of thousands of martial art members.
Over 100,000 members that we service. It's very difficult to have a more personalized type of consulting program that you can support 1,900 members with.
Right.
So instead, what we look to do, and by the way, not that everybody even wants that part
yeah.
of the service. Everybody can use a broad base of knowledge of consulting.
Right.
I think we do very well. But there is a huge market in our own organization, never mind outside of Member Solutions, that would like to have a more personal relationship with the consultant as opposed to the material.
Right.
So what we've done is we've gone and said, you know, these programs would be very advantageous to our clients, and certainly if something is good for our clients, it has a residual effect of being advantageous to us. Because if the martial arts school owner's business grows, so does Member Solutions. So it's a great win-win relationship there.
Yeah.
We have relationships, for those people who are familiar with the client education program, with NATMA, National Association of Professional Martial Artists,
right.
MIA, Martial Arts Industry Association. These two programs are somewhat similar, although they do have some specific niches within their own companies, but they basically provide some hands-on material, a box is shipped out, you have access to their consultants and you have access to their products and their seminars and so on and so forth, so they're real good organizations.
Right.
We also work with the Martial Arts Teachers Association, which is headed up by John Graydon. That's an online program.
Yeah.
Again, material pretty much all at your disposal. And these programs somewhat similar to each other, but provide a tremendous amount of great support. Now,
right.
Taking to the Next Level, which is your program, Allie, which I want to get into today because I think it's very important, what kind of like about that program is that you are involved very personally with your clients, and that if your clients happen to be members of any of those other three client education program associations, that just gives them more resources to be able to utilize.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's fantastic that you offer this program. I want to make sure that our clients out there know that we highly endorse it, and we know that it's helping clients grow. So what I'd like you to do for starters is explain to us what taking it to the next level actually is, and then I'm going to ask you some more questions that will get you, you know, get you to, I guess, give us more information on it. But kind of tell us, you know, how you started it, what your overall objective was, and obviously it's online-based. Just give us a good overview.
Well, the history of taking it to the next level is kind of unique because initially I designed this program for my school owner, for the guys who run schools for me. So it basically was my, what we call our training matrix, meaning that there's an online training program for my school owners, my guys, what we call Dojo Cho, that run my organization. So we had to get some sort of training methods available to them so that they could go online on a more regular basis and just get these tools. So once I started to see it, and then at one point Jeff Cohen, who's your partner at the Member Solutions, had asked me to come in and do a keynote speaker at one of your big events. And I came in, and, you know, I was really kind of nervous, although I've been on stage and been in movies and, you know, all of that kind of thing. I've never really thought that people would be interested in hearing what I had to say, because I'm just Ali Alberigo, this small little guy from Long Island, and so on. And then once I did it, I realized that a lot of people out there were going through the same cycle of problems and issues. And what I call it is the research, and we're constantly, as martial arts school owners, caught in what we call the research and development stage. Now, nothing negative to any of the consulting companies that are out there. When I say consulting companies, I would almost consider myself more of a university versus a consulting company. Taking it to the next level is a university because it's actually an education in business versus a splattering of martial art information. So the problem with business is that we get in this business however we got there, and it could be any one way, but we're right here now, we're owning a martial arts school, and we're literally what we call a self-employed person, and we are basically running a business without any knowledge whatsoever on how to run a business. So what we did was, we're going to open up a school. Let's go find a building. That's easy. You look for a for rent sign, you go in there, you negotiate what you believe to be a fair price. And most of the time, people didn't even negotiate their lease properly. On taking it to the next level, we talk about that. And then they open up a school, and they start marketing. And what they do is all these consulting companies give them ads and ideas and concepts. And what happens is they latch on to something that they believe to make sense in their small little paradigm of what they believe a business to be. And I'm not being insulting to anybody because I've fallen into this category where what I thought was right necessarily wasn't right. And that's why I share all of my experiences with people. I have no ego whatsoever. If I fail, I want to tell people, look, I failed, and I learned from it, and I want to share it with you so you don't have to fail. And so anyway, taking it to the next level is a business curriculum, and it's not a information resource center. So for instance, if you want to learn anything about anything, no one has to be involved with any consulting company. All they have to do is go to the public library. I mean, you could learn how to make cake. You could learn how to make plastic explosives. You could learn how to paint your car. You could learn how to knit. It's all there. If you want to learn anything, you could read a book from Mr. Buffett, from Tony Robbins, from the President of the United States. The information is endless. But what that does for you is it just gives you information. Now you, as a school owner, have to sort through the information and try to make sense of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You know, so what happens is when people are running a business, they're going, okay, whatever company sends out a packet, we get the packet, there's a cool ad, and they say, start a black belt club. So people go, wow, I think I should start a black belt club. Then they go out and they start a black belt club like me, and they realize 4 years later that the black belt club, the name of the black belt club, is probably one of the worst things you could have ever done. Because people don't necessarily believe that they could be in a black belt club when they're not black belts. So the name in itself promotes confusion and hesitation. So I did it, and I still have it, but what I would recommend to people is never call it the Black Belt Club. Call it the Viper Team. Call it the Special Accelerated Club, because people tie the Black Belt to some mystical level of knowledge. So anyway, and then, you know, start a team leadership team, and people go, okay, and they go out and they start it, but they don't even know what team leaders are supposed to do. So now they have all these guys running around on their team leadership team, and they have patches on their geese, but they don't even know what they're supposed to do. So this is the problem with consulting in this day and age. It's like a headache. It's a huge headache for school owners because they're on information overload. They don't know where to go and what to do and how to do it, but they have all the information to get it done. I equate it to my taking it to the next level is more like, I actually equate the consulting industry and the information industry as taking a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle in a box with no picture of what the puzzle is supposed to look like, shaking all the pieces up and dumping them on a table and then saying to yourself, what do we do now? And you start looking at what colors look like they're similar, if there are any shapes and sizes that look like they should go together. And we might put a few pieces together that might be the center of the puzzle, a few pieces on the corner, and then we start working. But it could take weeks and months and even a year to finish this puzzle. My taking it to the next level is we don't even have a reference picture, but we shake the puzzle pieces up, throw them on a desk, and each one of them are numbered. Number 1, 2, 3, all the way and up to 1,000, and how easy and quick is it to do that? You just come and find number 1, and you look for number 2. It may take you a little time to find number 2, but once you find it, you just click it to number 1. And that's the way I do my consulting slash martial art university kind of thing.
Well, let's go right into that, because one of the things that's very unique about the Next Level program is that it's based on levels.
Right.
And if I could kind of give a description of that, and then you can correct me. But the idea being that if I'm a school owner and I have a certain degree of knowledge about how to run the business, I probably know a little bit about I probably know a lot about how to run my classes in terms of my material.
Right.
I might not know so much about marketing, but I know how to, I could kind of tell a decent ad versus a great ad versus a bad ad. So I have knowledge in a bunch of little areas, but I'm not really an expert in any one particular area. So I kind of run my business in the best way possible, which, you know, is unfortunately not at what would be considered par for a successful school.
Right.
So, you know, this is what I know, and I know a little bit of this, that, and the other thing. The Taking to the Next Level program, the way that it's structured, you're going to take the client through a series of steps, and you're going to say, look, you know, let's make you an expert in these areas because these are the most critical for your business.
Right.
Is that how that works? So if you can...
Yeah, you know what? Again, it goes back to that puzzle, you know, not knowing where the pieces go. And what you basically described was basically that same scenario because people know a little here, a little there, and they're, you know, they're good in on the floor, but they may not be good in the office, or they might be good at getting a person to come into their school but not be good at signing them up. And there's these little pieces of the puzzle. So they're putting the corner together and the other corner together, but the middle's not coming together. And you can't run a business without having the whole entire picture. So I think it's real, real important for people to understand. And even I still run into this problem, and I have to kind of go off on a little bit of a bend because the biggest problem with any business is that people tend to believe more than they know. Like, I try to be as open-minded to anybody who could teach me anything. I really like to learn, and I would love for people to come in and criticize me and pick me apart, and then I will evaluate whether they're making sense or not and utilize their skills. So, for instance, on Next Level, when I first opened it, I had, like, the level 1 was 0 to 30 students, and then level 2 was 30 to 100 students, level 3, 100 to 200, and level 4, 200 to 300, and then level 5, 400 and up. The problem I had was somebody may join and go, well, I'm wanting to go to level 3 because I have 300 students. And I would say, you know what, I needed to change that the way it was written because it really didn't matter that they had 300 students. There's still many people. Like one of my good friends has 300 students, but he joined Next Level. And just on month 1, all the systems, every single system on month 1, this guy was not doing. Imagine the most basic primal systems in a school. This guy has 300 students, and he wasn't doing any of these systems. lo and behold, he started doing month one systems, and he's starting to see this buzz in his school, and through osmosis, he was lucky he had 300 students. At one point, this guy had 600 students, but he doesn't have any of the systems that are in effect. It might have been luck, it might have been area, it might have been whatever, but he's done really well, and if he puts these systems in effect, he's going to do 100 times better. So being a school owner with 200 students, you still might not, you might be missing the basic principles.
It's very similar to, taking someone who might have some experience in various different martial arts styles, and then they go to a new school, and the person coming in is like, hey, I want to be a green belt because I already have all this martial arts experience. And it's true, they might have, they might know how to throw a reverse punch, they might know how to do front kicks, they may know a whole bunch of different forms.
Right.
But they don't necessarily know what it takes to be a yellow belt in that particular style that they're learning, so they still need to go back and learn those basics in order to become a great green belt or a great black belt in that style they're currently teaching. So
that is absolutely the best analogy, and that is so totally true. But you know what? How many people will search around trying to find the school that accepts them at their rank? Because people come to me all the time. They go, I'm a fourth-degree black belt. I want to join your school. I'm going to be a fourth-degree black belt, right? I go, no, you're going to be a white belt just like everyone else, and you're going to start in white belt classes, and you're not allowed to fall until you learn properly. Oh, I know how to fall. I'm doing it for years. Well, I'll say, when I watch and make sure you know how to fall, then I'll give the okay that you're allowed to fall in class. Because even though that they think they know, sometimes they don't really know. And I had a guy who had experience, and he wore me down, and he kept saying, can I fall? He actually was the instructor for the New York City Police Academy, and he kept saying, I teach falls to all my police officers. I do this, I do that. And he broke me down. He literally, after, I respected him as a law enforcement agent, and then I let him fall. First fall, he broke his collarbone.
Ugh.
That was the day that solidified for me. Don't listen to what people have to say. You got to instruct them and guide them and know when they're ready. You got to help them. You have to mentor them and then let them move forward.
I can't believe that. You must have been like...
Yeah, and he actually quit my school right after that because imagine the blow to his ego after that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, he's a cop. He was an instructor. He made himself look stupid because he kept on bothering me. And then once he did it and I gave him the okay, he was like, wow, I'm never going back there again. And he never did.
Right.
So
basically, taking the next level is going to take clients through a series of steps.
Yes.
Introducing them to... first level is obviously going to be the basic things they need to be doing in their school to maximize, how if you were a brand new school starting up, all the things you'd want to have in place so you have the maximum foundation built under you. So as you get into more complicated areas, it'll be very, very well supported.
Yeah, and you know what, though?
In essence, level one is a prerequisite to level two, and you'll be able to succeed more at level two because you have level one that you've learned and applied.
Yeah, and you know what, though? When you say, when you had said it's a basic thing, I'd have to disagree only because what we may consider basic to many is really not basic to everyone. So, for instance, I have a buddy from England, and he came out, and he's my best friend, and he came out and spent a week at my school. And now he's been doing martial arts for 30-some-odd years, and just the terminology that we use in our school, of course, is not a language barrier, but the different sayings and phrases that we use in the U.S. compared to England are totally different. So, he may say mate, and that's my friend. I might consider mate someone I'm in love with, So in next level, though, a lot of the terms like 2-4-6-week calls, retention, and all these things that we talk about, he doesn't even talk in those terms, not only because he doesn't do it because he doesn't know about it, but that's just not the way it goes. So basic, when you say basic, for instance, what I'm saying is that a 2-4-6-8-10-week call script might be the basic primal thing for, let's say, myself or a Barry Vanover, who's got like 5 highly successful schools. But to a school owner, I'll do seminars. How many people do 2-4-6-8-10-week calls? And like 3 people out of 30 will raise their hand. Now, to me, that's probably the most basic thing to be doing, but really it's an intricate system, and it's not a basic concept, but it's one of the things we consider the basics. Like, a white belt has to learn how to kick and punch. That's the basics. But it's not a basic,
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not trying to say it's not simple. It's not easy. It's something that's pretty darn intricate.
Yeah, and No, exactly. It's, well, I mean, if you think about what we might consider the basics of martial arts training are really the fundamentals of everything that's to come. So, they're not basic in that sense, but they are really the very most important requirements for foundation, for sure.
Right.
Let me ask you about, in addition to providing them with the information, how does Next Level almost, I mean, I'll be real blunt, how does Next Level ensure a client's success?
Well, I don't think that anything could ensure someone's success, because even the problem that I find, even with Member Solutions, Joe, when I do consulting with people, they'll call me up, I'll spend 20 minutes on the phone with them, and they'll be like, yeah, this is great, I'll talk to you next week, and then I'll never hear from them again. And then if by chance they do get back in touch with me, I'll ask them how they're doing on the topic we talked about, and they might not have even touched it at all.
So there's an application, and obviously are they, would you say that they would be more accountable because of the program, the Next Level program? How do you measure?
Well, again, you and I talked, remember months and months and months ago, we talked about a way where if people are not actually doing it, they could possibly get kicked off the site, and that would be a way. But then I realized that wasn't conducive to the growth of my business, because some people are going to do what they want to do, and they're going to take information. So in other words, what I'm saying is that every person to be a success in the martial art business has to be disciplined towards the growth of their business. So in other words, they can't like teach 40 hours a week and put 2 hours into their education. They need to put 38 hours into their education and teach 2 hours a week. It's got to be the opposite, because without that, the only way I grew my business was to really know the business and learn it and understand it and have the techniques and the concepts and tweak them and fix them and keep on improving on them. So the difference between Next Level is that we put it in a format where we're actually putting the pieces of the puzzle in sequence. So month one has the basic principles of month one. Month two has the addition that goes and attaches to month one, and it's a buildable process from month one to two to three to four to five all the way on up to 12. So in other words, I wouldn't want, like, and my friends have offered me, hey, listen, Ali, you know me, why don't I just pay you for all 12 months and let me into the program? I'm like, I'm not doing it. You need to pay month one and study month one and get month one up and running, then go on to month two. Now, I've had about maybe 5 or 8 members total in the year and a half quit my Next Level site, and most of the people that have left the site had the two things that I hear the most is, one, I'm not utilizing the information, and two, it's something that I don't do. Now, I've had people that have been on the site, and we do 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls, and I'll say to them, why are you doing it? Are you doing that? And they go, yeah, we're doing it. I go, you're doing it 100%? And they say, yes, I'm just not doing the 4, 6, and 8, and 10. I'm just doing the 2 and the 4. Mm. So to me, that's like taking a recipe for like lasagna and leaving out the sauce and the cheese.
Well, I have to admit, first of all, one, I've taken advantage of your honesty, because I tend to also ask questions that I believe our clients are thinking. And I find it very disturbing, and it's just a natural thing. It's human nature, but I find it very disturbing that there are so many people that want the help and assistance, and then there's a very, very large portion that really don't act on the information. And I'll give you a perfect example if I can relate it to something else. I had a conversation with Rob Colasanti at NAPMA. I'm thinking about a good year and a half ago, and we're just talking about each other's company and working on ways to help each other. And one of the things that I had asked him was about how much does he feel that the information that they sent out in their package penetrates the membership base? And he said, that's a really good question, because we have people that are NAPMA members, and it was quite a few, it was like close to 2,000 members.
Right.
We know that their intent, they enjoy being a NAPMA member. Their intent is to receive the material and apply it, but we had to go towards you know, marketing not only outside of, you know, to get more members, but we had to market to our own membership about the material. So they put, for example, they put a sticker on the outside of the box to entice members to open the box.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, but, you know, imagine spending $100 to get something in and it doesn't even get opened.
Yeah.
You know, so that's I think that is a general battle that people in general, it's a, you know, the procrastination thing, or there's this fear. It's like, okay, I'm interested in learning the information, but I'm concerned about applying the information, because if I apply it and it doesn't work, now maybe I feel like, you know, geez, what else am I going to do? It's very, very strange phenomenon.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think people look for the magic pill to business.
Yeah.
They look for, well, if I join this program, you know, I'm automatically become a success. And I knew that you would be very honest, and you would come out and you would say, hey, you know, look, if you join Next Level but you don't do anything, sorry, but it's not gonna turn your school double your enrollment.
And you know what? It's weird, because first of all, in defense of our society, and the world in general, the powers that be hundreds of years ago had set up a society that we live in right now today. And this is not a conspiracy theory like the movie with Mel Gibson, but we've set up this lethargic kind of society where, especially in the United States, that we're, as long as we're happy and content, that's okay. It's almost like we're all on Valiums in a way, and that we're constantly bombarded by negative motivation and negative things, news. Just watch 5 minutes of the news and tell me that it's not the most sad and depressing thing in the world, and then try to believe that you could be a success in a society that tells you that you're constantly in one way or another, roundabout way, that you're not going to be able to do it. So, you know, if you believe outside the box and that you're going to be a success, even with that strong belief system, there's so many factors telling you that you're not. And the first failure or the first thing that goes wrong is going to reinforce the fear that you have. So there is a lot of people out there that have the genuine desire and the genuine goal, but they don't know the systems that they need to do just to improve their lives in general. So then just take their lives in general. That's why half of our society is obese and overweight, and half of our society is lazy and lethargic. So we wonder, why would those people be a success in business? Now, even though that they're martial artists and they're highly motivated to get their black belt, a lot of martial artists out there really got their black belt and now are caught up in this realm of being a martial arts school owner. Now their training is not going that well. They're not even training as much anymore. Now they're running a school and they get in this rut, and that's why they fail. So Next Level, I would hope, would be kind of an end-all solution if people utilize it. If, and that's a big if, because I would guarantee out of my 60 or 70 members that a good portion, maybe 70% of them, are only using a small portion of it.
And I want to point out that the program is extremely new. So 60 to 70 members is a substantial increase to what it was only, you know, 4 or 5 months ago.
Right.
It's rapidly growing.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that I like about it, and it could certainly just be my personality type, but I like things in a very organized manner. I like things in a step-by-step fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to get bombarded with a million things and you know, not know how to handle all of them. I'd like to be able to have 3 or 4 things that I need to work on,
right?
And put forward. So I really like the way that you structured the program. I think that martial artists in general live in a structured environment. They have belt levels for their students. That's very structured. They've grew up with belt levels and that kind of thing. So I think it really relates to the way that we think and the way that we can be most successful.
And you know what also, Joe, too, the cool thing about it is most other consulting companies, even if, let's say, I listed from 1 to 15 of all the things you need to do, and I didn't explain it, you would have those things, and then you could go to any of the sites. Like Mata is like the public library. I mean, there's thousands of things on Mata. You could learn anything about anything, and that's unbelievable. So that's why I'm trying to almost forge a partnership in a way where Mata and I are kind of in sync, because let's just say I say one step 1 through 10, and I explain 2-4-6 week calls. I give them a script. I tell them what to look for. We have a booklet that they put together on the book on 2 weeks, what to mention, what to say, what to ask for, how to approach them. What if they say yes? What if they say no? When to call, when not to call. It takes all the guesswork out of everything that they need to do. So basically now they say, okay, I got to do 2-4-6 week calls. It's right here. Boom. It's done. They don't have to make it. They don't have to research and develop it. It's there for them.
And not to mention the fact that where does 2-4-6 week calls fall on the priority list to
Absolutely.
The 50 other things that you need to do in your business, but
Absolutely.
You can't do them all at once. And that's and I think that's really the message that you're delivering
Yeah.
your program. What I'd like to do now, because I cannot believe how fast time has flown here.
Oh, I know.
What I'd like to do is quickly mention that Taking the Next Level is part of our client education program, and what that exactly means is that Member Solutions will contribute along with the client to pay for the membership to encourage our members to participate in the program. That's really what it comes down to. We will contribute more based on your billing volume. So if we have a client who's you know doing 10,000 in billing, we'll contribute more than someone who's doing 3,000 in billing. And the concept there is, if we're getting more support from our clients, we're going to reinvest more for that particular client. So it's a way for us to treat every client equally because the ratios are designed around the billing volume. So it's a win-win situation. The way that the client education program works now is that there are currently 4 programs in this, the NATMA, MAYA, MATA, and Taken to Next Level. We will contribute up to 3 of those programs. Certainly, you're more than welcome to join 4 of them. We will make contributions to 3 of the 4. We hope to add a few more down the road at some point, and that's the 3 is the ratio that everything has been designed around, because we want to encourage people to not just think, oh, I only need this or I only need that. We want the MATA members to look at Next Level. We want the NATMA members to look at Next Level.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So to get a copy of the client education program form, you can access it through the website, the Member Solutions website. Also, later today, there's going to be an email that is being sent out to all of our clients with some summer ads, our monthly marketing campaign. And it was actually graciously donated by the Martial Arts Industry Association, and there will be a client education program link, form link that you can click and download. So you will be getting that today. Of course, you can always call our sales line at 888-277-4409 and request a copy of the form as well. And that's all you need to do is fill out the form to get started. And I will leave Ali to wrap up and explain his basic free month offer that he has ongoing to all Member Solution clients and how they can take advantage of it.
Well, there's 2 choices, actually, Joe. We could either do a free month, or if you sign up on Next Level within the next, let's say, 2 weeks, we'll give you one of my DVDs for free. So the DVDs are worth $49.99, and one of them is called 101 Drills for an Exciting Classroom, and that's been really popular. And the other one is called the Business Education for the Professional Martial Artist. So you could either get a free month or you could get the month with a free DVD. And we'll work with you on any of that stuff. And honestly, I want to say that I wish, and I don't say this, it sounds silly, but the only way I could put it is, I wish that years ago I had somebody like me that I could have looked up to with a program like I have, because it would have probably gotten me 10 times further than I am right now. I wish I had, like, I read, last year I read about 30 books, the year before I read around 44 books, this year I hope to read 50 books. I'm swallowing books left and right, from anywhere from Dell Computer to Good to Great to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and all this stuff, because I'm constantly in this learning mentality. So in order to be a success, you have to keep the mind open, and also you need to dedicate X amount of hours to your finances every week. You need to dedicate X amount of hours to your education, and you need to dedicate X amount of hours to your spirituality and your health and fitness. and so that you could be a well-rounded, successful person. And that's why I believe Next Level is a really good program. And not only does it go from basic principles, but the end of the first season of the first year of Next Level, you actually have people that are professionals on how to sell your business, and not to sell it though. Meaning like how to build value within your company. Preparing it for sale is preparing it for value. So I also have people that are on there that actually have video segments like Hegan Machado and Dan Severin and Randy Weekly and Mel Abraham and all of these really unbelievable people that are world-renowned martial artists that are doing drills and exercises, and they're all my clients. So they're doing really, really well.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
So that's it, Joe. I appreciate all the time that you've given me, and I love being interviewed. I'm honored to have the chance to be able to share.
Well, I really appreciate it. I know that you were a bit under the weather as well, and boy, I wouldn't have known it if you hadn't told me ahead of time. So I really appreciate it. What I'd like to do, I really apologize that I haven't left much for questions, but we have about 5 minutes, and I'd love to get a couple on there, especially since these are recorded. So if there's anyone out there that has any questions for Ali, regarding Next Level or anything that we've discussed today, now's the time to ask. I couldn't have done that good of a job asking the questions, guys.
Well, you know what? I think you do, though, and that's funny. That's what everyone tells me, like when I do my conference calls, that I explain it so well that it doesn't really leave room for questions. So I think we did do a good job at answering a lot of the questions and giving a real good overview. So if anybody has a question, ask now. If not, we're really honored to be able to have done this.
Hello, I have a quick question.
Okay.
How do we take advantage of the 3 months and or the DVD?
All you have to do is sign up. If you want the DVD, then just sign up on the SET program and get involved. If not, just send out an email and sign up on the site, and we'll get you the 3 month. Or email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I-N-I-N-J-A, Renshi, L-I-Ninja, @AOL.com.
Or if it's even easier, Alberigo @membersolutions.com.
Yeah, that's true. That's the truth.
That's got to be easier, Ali.
Yeah, I'm still caught in the AOL ages, you know. Everyone laughs at me for that.
Well, we forward to your AOL, so.
Exactly. But anyway, just contact me, and I'll get you the free month. Or if you want, just sign up on the Members Solutions site for Next Level, and we'll get you the DVD.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I hope we get a lot of new members because I'm excited. My ultimate goal is to help the martial art industry.
Anyone else with any questions?
How much does the program cost?
Program is, without the SEP program discount, is $69.99 per month. And I would almost guarantee you the first month will pay off the entire 2 years. It's just an unbelievably powerful, powerful package. Any other questions? All right, Joe, I guess that's it.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank everyone for coming out and listening, and thank everyone who listened to the recording. Thanks for downloading and picking it up. Hope everybody has a phenomenal day and week and month, and I hope your numbers soar. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.